Today is April 2nd, 2004, and this is an interview with Ms. Frances Leach. This interview is conducted in conjunction with the oral history class of the University of North Carolina at Charlotte under the direction of Dr. Karen Flint. My name is Brian Alexander, and I'm acting as mediator today at her home for said interview. Ms. Leach, will you please introduce yourself?
My name is Frances H. Leach.
Where did you grow up?
And I grew up in the Derrida area. That was out in the county. Derrida, North Carolina. Out from across from Sugar Creek Road now. And after growing up in the country, grew up on a farm with my parents and sisters and brothers. Then some of them married out. Then later on, my parents moved to Charlotte, to the city. We moved to Cherry. Cherry was a kind of large community for blacks. And we enjoyed it, and we had to go walk to school. I went to school in the country and finished the 7th grade at Rockwell School. Then after that, that's when we moved to town, and I had to go to Second Ward High. She had to live in the city to go to that school. And I went to Second Ward High. We lived in Cherry. We had to walk, I don't know, maybe a mile, a couple of miles, to get to school every day. And it was, we enjoyed it. We had to walk across a little creek. They had a bridge on it called a swinging bridge. The bridge broke one day and some children got drowned. But luckily we weren't on there, but some children did get drowned on that bridge. So after going to Second Ward, I graduated from Second Ward in 1939. And then I took up a trade. I went to Woods Morgan Barber and Beauty College for hairdressing. That's what I am now, retired hairdresser. For 38 years, I worked in the beauty field. I'm now with the Luminous. That's where I met Ms. Bermel Healy and Price Davis. Price Davis and I are classmates. Second Ward, 1939.
What are your fondest and earliest memories of Brooklyn?
Growing up in Brooklyn, in that area, and going to the movies. We had a movie in Lincoln Theater and Savoy Theater. Plus, my church was over there in Brooklyn, on Long Street, United House of Prayer for All People. I joined that church in 1935, and I've been there ever since. Then, after growing up and things started moving out and rebuilding in the Brooklyn area, tore all that out. Can't hardly find living places now over there because it's in business. And we did have a church on McDowell Street. We had to move after they started tearing down. We moved over here on Batesford Road. And that's where we are now, Batesford Road.
Mm-hmm. Describe the differences between Cherry, where you lived, and Brooklyn, if you can.
Cherry was a better area to live in because we're lacking houses over there. But Brooklyn was more like apartments in Brooklyn. And it was more congested, I would say, than Cherry was. I like Cherry best. They like it better.
How would you describe the connection between the two communities, if there was one?
Connection? In what way?
Were there businesses in Cherry? Did people go from Cherry to Brooklyn to businesses?
No.
Was there any ever any interaction between the two as far as social functions or anything like that?
Cheryl was more like living quarters, you know, and they had grocery stores in Cheryl, and that's about all the business you got over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brooklyn, like I said, it was a theater over there in Brooklyn, and see what else. We had a black dry cleaning business, which they're members of my church. They lived on McDowell Street in Brooklyn. See, I had more business in Brooklyn, like I said, than Cheryl. Cheryl more living quarters.
So while you were living in Brooklyn, did you go there to do something like dry cleaning or?
Yeah, we would take our clothes to them.
What other businesses did you go to while you were in Brooklyn, or while you lived in Cherry?
Business. Damn, that's about it.
You went to the movie theater. I mean,
you talking about a black business or just any business?
Any businesses that you may have gone to in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, we had that dry cleaner, black, and then we had, was that American Dry Clean? I believe it was. It's white. We had some grocery stores in Brooklyn.
Do you know if those were black owned or white owned?
Yeah.
Do you know if those were black owned or white owned?
We had, I do know we had one black grocery store. The rest of them was white owned.
And were most of the workers in those, in the white owned businesses, were those black workers or white workers?
White workers.
White
at
workers.
That time.
Mm-hmm.
Black and the black. But that's been a long time. My age, I can't remember all this stuff back there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember walking to school, and it's hard on us. We didn't have any buses to ride at that time, but we had to walk. But the white did have the buses.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great change since that time.
Mm-hmm.
In the living quarters, you know. I say living situations. It's much better now. Much, much better.
Okay. Since you did not live in Brooklyn, tell me what other sorts of things you may have done when you went to Brooklyn.
When I went to Brooklyn? Nothing. I go to Brooklyn for church and the movies. That's about it. And school. The school. Second World School was in Brooklyn. That's right. Second World High School, where I graduated from. So I did go there.
Did you have relatives or friends that may have lived in Brooklyn during that time?
My parents, and some of my sisters that were married lived in Brooklyn.
Okay. How often did you see or visit with them?
How often?
Yeah.
Well, I was living with my parents.
Right, in Cherry, right? And you said your sisters lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, I was living with. I forgot. We did live in Brooklyn a little bit.
You did.
We did.
Huh.
With my mother and father before we went to Cherry.
Uh-huh.
Left that out. I told you I was getting old and can't remember. But we did live in Brooklyn, and then my mother and father and some sisters, a couple sisters and a couple brothers like that. And then we moved to Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any family living over there, no more than in the house with us, you know, where we.
When you lived there?
When we lived in Cherry. I had a brother, nephew. Had a nephew and a niece and my sister. She lost her husband and then she moved back with us.
In Cherry?
In Cherry. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's about it. And it was a nice place. Cherry was a very nice, quiet place to live. It was real nice. We enjoyed it.
Do you remember the time that you lived in Brooklyn at all? What kind of place you lived in, or where you might have lived while you were in Brooklyn?
Well, when I was in Brooklyn, that's when we first moved to town from the country. We were living in like a little duplex, I guess you'd call them, like that little house and everything. Then we found, my brother found a better place in Cherry, and we moved over there.
You mentioned some of the African-American businesses. Do you know, you said that there were some white-owned businesses as well there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe the differences between the white-owned and the black-owned businesses?
Mm-hmm. No, I can't. the time. I don't know. About the same, I think.
About the same.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any... Did you or your family in that time make a choice as to go to a black-owned business as opposed to a white-owned business, or did it matter to you?
It didn't matter. We were just wanting the best. Who give the best service, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make a difference.
Okay. Describe 2nd Ward High School where you attended school.
Say what now?
Describe 2nd Ward High School where you attended school.
2nd Ward. Describe it.
Mm-hmm.
How it was and everything.
Sure. Where it was in Brooklyn, what was around.
Yeah,
it,
around, okay.
Like.
Around Brooklyn, we did have a film parlor over there. Real film parlor. That was black. And, Second Ward School, it was a two-story building, and it went to the, it went to the 11th grade up until, I graduated in 1939 from the 11th grade, and then we didn't have a class in 1940 because they added on the 12th grade. So the next graduating class was 1941. That was in Second Ward. But I did graduate. Got my diploma and everything, all of that. Like I tell you in the beginning about where I went to Woodmore and Barber and Beauty College. It was in Brooklyn too. That's about all I can remember right now.
Tell me your favorite memory from your time at 2nd Ward High School, or even the Beauty College, either one.
My favorite memory? Well, I like going to both of them. And I'm glad to get out. You know how kids want to get out of school. Glad to graduate from 2nd Ward High School. And we had a large class. Large class. I have the pictures of those. And that's the school. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a favorite teacher or a favorite class while you were there?
Yes, I had a favorite. Let me see. I had 2 or 3 favorite teachers because I was good in, I was real good in algebra. Did y'all ever hear of algebra?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Algebra, what was his name? And Mr. Brown, Vilma's father, Vilma Ely, the one you talked to,
mm-hmm.
Her father was one of my teachers, Mr. Diamond. Mm-hmm, she was. But you know, at this rate of, I can't hardly remember what they taught. Like I say, I know Mr. Clark.
Why did you like them in particular? Why do they come to mind? Do you know?
Why did I like them? Well, you know, sometimes you just have favorite teachers, I guess. I don't know. I don't know, but them were some of my favorites. They just seemed nice. It seemed like, you know how that can be. It seemed like they were nicer than maybe another one was.
I know you attended the House of Prayer located in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember why you or your family chose to attend this church in particular?
No. Because I was young when they joined and I just come on in. Have you ever been to it? Or do you know anything about it? You don't know about it?
I know a little bit about it.
You do?
You can tell me a little bit about it if you want to.
Yeah, you know, we have bishops. It's like other churches. And it's about the same thing. We have our pastors and the bishop over so many churches. We have so many churches, I can't think how many we got right now. But we have a lot in different states, you know. Mm-hmm. And we liked it because it preached the Bible, you know. We carry our Bibles every Sunday to church. and preach out of the Bible. Teaching life. It's a teaching life. That's what we like about it.
The House of Prayer stood in two locations in Brooklyn, on Long Avenue and on McDowell.
Yeah, Long Street and McDowell.
Can you describe the two areas where the church buildings were and include neighbors or businesses or whatever maybe around them?
Both of them were close together because when we went to the new one on McDowell, we walked from the old one on Long Street to the new one on McDowell Street. So they were just like together. What it was in a better location on McDowell Street. On Long Street, it was kind of low. Building was, I think I told you about the building.
Go ahead and tell me again.
Oh, okay. We had sawdust floors. You know, sawdust on the ground.
This is the one on
that's
Long
Street.
Street.
Mm-hmm. That's what we had. And of course, when we moved to McDowell, it was just like, I don't know, we were just so overwhelmed. Because then there we had the seats, the backs to them, we had floors, and we liked it much better because it's better community and living and everything. The environment was better.
Can you explain to me what you mean by better environment?
Well, because it was more like slummy. You've heard of people saying the slum areas, like
Long
on Long Street, yes. Uh-huh. And if anybody lived in that area, you know, we came on over and it's more like better and everything.
Okay.
Much better.
Now, I've been told that the area of Brooklyn called Blue Heaven was close to the House of Prayer, I guess on Long Street. Long Street.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe that area for me? What Blue Heaven was like?
It was a little small area. I don't know why they broke up those pieces of name, give them different names, you know? Because Blue Heaven, it was real small. I don't know where the name came from, why they named it Blue Heaven. But there was a Blue Heaven. People lived there. Mm-hmm. In apartments and, you know, there weren't very many houses in those days, not for blacks. Mostly, you know, apartments, duplex, things like that.
Okay. How did the House of Prayer interact with the Brooklyn community?
What you mean, interact?
How did it outreach to the community? Or what kinds of events did the House of Prayer do with the community in Brooklyn?
As far as helping people and all?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it did, because it gave them food, had something called a soup line for people, you know, who was unable to buy grocery and food like it should be. I was pretty helped in that area.
Is there anything else that you can think of in ways that they may have outreached to the community in Brooklyn?
Well, I think it helped a lot to keep down the crime. You know, a lot of people who have been doing just what they want to do, they came on into the service and they enjoyed it. That cut down a lot on crime. Yeah, very much.
I was told that the House of Prayer actually had a security force that acted as the police before Brooklyn got police. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we have security. We call them gray soldiers.
Gray soldiers?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it was Grace, G-R-A-C-E, gray soldiers. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what sorts of things they did in the community?
Keep there, you know, people acting and the violent, keep the crime down.
So did people look at the House of Prayer as one safeguard in the community?
In a way, some of them did. Some of them didn't pay any attention, you know, because we didn't get everybody. There's still black churches in Brooklyn, church and chair too.
How is the House of Prayer different than other churches in Brooklyn?
Was it different? Just one thing, we had bands and had bands, and you know, where children had the drums and horns and things like that, and I don't think many churches got so now. A lot of churches have it now, but they used to didn't. So we have bands and things, and we travel from city to city during our convocation, like people call conference, and we call it convocation. We just came back from Florida last week, Miami. So we travel like that. I don't know what to do. Well, the churches in the world speak. They go to conference. They do have conference. You've heard of that, churches. What denomination are you? Am I asking too much?
Yeah, Christian.
Christian.
Non-denominational.
Non-denominational. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Can you tell me a little bit more about convocation? I understand that's a real big deal in the house of prayer.
It is.
Can you tell me what convocation is and what that means to you?
I need to read that from my Bible back in there, where it said one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's the title. One Lord. We believe in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
And is that what convocation? What is convocation? What sorts of events surround convocation?
Wait a minute, cut that off. You take it.
Okay.
The House of Prayer Creed. So we believe in the Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and crucified for the redemption of the sins of the people, so that all men should have a right to the tree of life. We believe in water baptism for the repentance of sin. We believe that you must be born again of the Holy Ghost. We believe in one leader, one ruler, to the kingdom of God. Now that's our creed.
Now I've heard that you have a big parade during convocation.
Yes, we used to have one here in Charlotte all the time, but that was mostly to introduce to the people what the House of Prayer was. Going through the streets, and our bishop cut it out. He said he thanked the people had been well taken with it. You know, they know what it's all about. So we only have one now, and that's in Savannah, Georgia. We still have one parade.
Can you tell me what sorts of things you did during the parade? I mean,
Just march, the bands. We have marching bands. And then people in their uniform with different clubs, like the ushers and choir members, all of that. We line up and we march through the streets, a certain amount of streets.
So did you actually march in the parades?
Yes, I used to march in the parade.
How did that feel to walk down the street in the
Say
parade?
What?
How did that feel to march down the street in a parade?
It felt good to us. We felt very proud about it.
Can you tell me some of your earliest memories of your church in Brooklyn?
We travel, our choirs travel during these convocations like I was telling you a while ago. We'd be invited to different places like Connecticut, New York, and around. We go sing. But we enjoy that.
Tell me some of the groups or individuals within the church that were important to you.
The groups?
Or individuals?
Well, I'm on the nurse board, and I guess that's very important to me because I like that. We have an usher board, and we have choirs. and one of choirs and notes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the nurse board and the usher board do?
Well, the usher board keep the people quiet, and you know, when they come into church, they'll see them, things like that. And the nurse, what we do, if anything happened, you know, we have little kits, first aid kits and things like that we use.
Is this within the church, if something happens?
Yes, yes, right, if something happens to anybody in the church. And let's see what else we have. You know, we have the ministers like that.
Is there a particular minister that you've had that is particularly important to you?
Yeah, well, our pastor, we call it the pastor, he's the main one. And we have an assistant pastor.
Mm-hmm. Now, the House of Prayer moved from Brooklyn in the late 60s.
Yeah, we moved on Batesville Road in 1970.
That's
when we moved there.
Can you tell me, why did you choose to follow the church to Batesville Road instead of going to another church?
Oh, well, I was just set up in that one with it. You know, and I just liked it. And I stayed there. Because it wasn't long till I moved from, not Brooklyn. I'd been out of Brooklyn a long time. We were living where we came over there. Trying to think. Oh, out in Brook Hill. Well, of course, that was in my married days, you know.
So you moved soon after the church moved? Or right around the same time?
I'm trying to think. We moved, not right when the church moved, because I used to go from Brook Hill to the House of Prayer over here. Sure did. Church moved first. Then I liked it out on this area, this side, and then I moved out here.
When the church body learned that it had to leave Brooklyn, then the church would be torn down, what sorts of things did the church do in response?
Like what now? What did we do?
What did the church do in response to the news that the church was going to be torn down
in
Brooklyn?
You mean that we hated or something like that? And
yeah, you can tell me if you,
yeah,
what, how you felt about it as well.
Right, we felt like we should have stayed over there so we could have was that something? Something to remind of us, you know, from where we came from down in that area. We were just hoping we could have something. You know, Marshall Park down there where the water comes up through the thing on McDowell, that's where that church was. The House of Prayer was right there in that spot. And we were just saying we could have just stayed there, you know, to have some remembrance. But it didn't happen.
Do you know if the church had any chance to stay there and just couldn't do that, or was there any
options?
No, we
had to go. Okay. Yeah, they said it was cleaning it out, dealing business in there.
Just so that I get this, how did you feel about the destruction of the church in Brooklyn? How did you feel about it?
Well, I was hating to leave. You know, I hated to leave there. Because after all, that's where we grew up, and I just can't get the right words placed, what I want to say. But
you can take your time.
So we just hated to leave.
After the move, what were some of the changes that the congregation faced?
What were some of the changes? In transportation, I would say. Get a way to come from that area to over here, you know. Have have some kind of transportation.
And how, since you didn't move right away, how did you get to Bates Ford Road?
Car. I was driving then.
You were driving then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you bring lots of other people with you?
Yeah, some of my family that didn't have a car.
And how did the congregation itself change after the move from Brooklyn? Did everybody go? Did the congregation split?
They came on pretty good. A few people may have gone other ways, I don't know, but the majority of them came on Bates Ford Road.
Why do you think that is? With the transportation problems and that mm-hmm. sort of thing?
Transportation.
If you remember, what opinion did the church leaders, your pastors, the ministers, how did they feel about urban renewal and the removal of the church?
I really don't know, you know, right off. Thought about it. I don't know.
Looking back, what things do you miss about the old church of Brooklyn?
I don't know. I guess because we grew up over there, we just kind of felt like that was home, you know? And we hated to leave. We just hated to leave. We had to go.
And what aspects of the new church do you see as better than the church in Brooklyn?
Well, it's more comfortable in room space and everything. See, Brooklyn was crowded a lot. You can rearrange what I'm trying to say, but it's more space over in this area. Have you seen the one down on Bates Ford?
It's a big, beautiful church.
Yes. See, we have more room. It's a little crowded over in Brooklyn, but we liked it anyway.
Having lived in Cherry, can you tell me what the response was from the community there to the demolition of Brooklyn, which was so close to you physically and spiritually?
Can I tell you now what?
Can you tell me what the response from Cherry was, the community in Cherry, to the demolition of Brooklyn, which sat so close to that community?
What was the difference?
No, not the differences, but how did they feel about what was going on, the demolition in Brooklyn? Were they afraid of the same thing happening in Cherry, or what kind of feelings did the community have as far as the demolition in Brooklyn?
No, I can't get that straightened out.
Do you understand the question?
Yeah, I think I do. You said what difference they had. What was the difference?
No, not difference. Mm-hmm. How did Cherry react to the demolition that was going on in Brooklyn, which was right next to it?
Well,
did they ignore that something was going on? Were they afraid that something was going to happen to Cherry also?
I imagine so. I guess so. Put it like that, yeah.
Um, Do you still think of Brooklyn as a community, even though it does not exist any longer?
Do I still think about it? Uh-huh. Sometimes we talk about it. You know, talk about what used to happen in Brooklyn like that.
What sort of things do you talk about when you talk about Brooklyn?
Just how we came up from, you know, when we were living in Brooklyn, how the time have changed now. So many things have changed. The environment have changed. And
describe to me what Brooklyn means to you today.
There's nothing over there now but business. It's business there. That's all I can think about. You know, it's hard to find out where different things were, the way they have made such a great change.
And how does that make you feel, not being able to see?
Well, it's kind of sad in a way, you know. Can't see what you used to see in time. We used to have some good times over there.
When you hear the term urban renewal, what does that mean to you now?
I guess it means they're trying to do better, make it better in these places. That's what I would say.
Do you think that's what happened in Brooklyn?
Yes, I think so.
Considering all that you know now, was the decision to revitalize Brooklyn, mm-hmm. In the way that it was done, a good one or a bad one? And why do you think that?
The way it was done, what they did?
Yeah. The way that it was handled, mm-hmm. Do you think that was a good decision or a bad decision?
I don't think they should have taken all this black stuff out of there like they did. I will say that much. You know, then it leaves us nothing harder than where we can go back and say where we used to do this, that, you know, because it's all cleaned out. Can't tell where those places were.
So you think it's a good decision or a...
Well, to me, I would say to me, I don't think it's a good decision.
Don't think it's a good decision. How might you have, if you were part of the Planning Commission in Charlotte during that time, how might you have done things differently?
Well, I mix it up. Don't just take everything from the black out of there, what I'm saying. See, now we hadn't been too long built the House of Prayer on McDowell Street till they had to tear it down. And then they built a church right behind where we were. And we can understand that, you know what I'm saying? So,
what kind of church was that?
It's white church, but it seemed like it's a Baptist, I'm not sure. So we couldn't ever figure out why would they do that. You know what I'm saying? What it would take the black out and then put another church, still a church, right behind. It's white. So I don't know. So we'll leave that one alone. Leave that part alone. Because I really don't know, you know, why.
And I have one last question for you.
Black that out, what I just said.
Okay.
What's the last question?
The last question I have for you. Participating in oral history class, we're interested in the interaction between interviewer and interviewee. Can you tell me if the fact that I'm a man, or the fact that I'm white, or if the fact that I'm with a university, if that has any effect on the answers that you give to me?
And what my answer? You want to know what my answer is?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's all bad. Is that what you're trying to
No, I'm just, we're trying to figure out, we discussed this in class.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to determine what the way interviewers and interviewees react and how interviewees give answers to mm-hmm. somebody who's interviewing them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to know is, as the just the fact that I'm a man instead of a woman,
mm-hmm.
The fact that I'm white instead of black,
mm-hmm.
or the fact that I'm with a university instead of a business,
mm-hmm.
does that affect the way that you answered any of the questions that I may have asked, do you think?
Oh, that you have asked? No, I don't think so. I don't think that have no effect on that.
Is there anything else that you can remember about Brooklyn or the church that you'd like to give me that I may not have gotten to?
It's a lot of blotted out, you know my age. You asked me my age, or did you? You didn't, did you?
No, I didn't.
You want to know it?
Sure, if you want to give it to us.
I'm 84.
You know,
that's been a long time, huh?
It has been a long time.
And I'm doing the best I can today, talking to you. Thank God that I'm still here. We sang a song. I'm still singing in this choir we travel. I tell you, we just came back from Florida, Miami, Florida. And we have a song which says, I'm still here. It's a beautiful song.
Well, thank you so much for letting me interview you.
Yeah, I did the best.